Every moment of your life is a negotiation. Whether you realize it or not, you are constantly negotiating. When you ask for a raise, when you persuade your child to finish their homework, when you convince a client to choose your service, or even when you battle with yourself to stay disciplined. Negotiation isn't limited to boardrooms or high-stakes deals. It's the invisible thread woven through every decision, every opportunity, and every relationship you have. The truth is, your ability to negotiate will determine the quality of your life. Think about it. People who master negotiation don't just win better deals, they build stronger relationships, open doors to opportunities, and shape a future that aligns with their deepest desires. Those who neglect this skill often settle for less, not because they lack potential, but because they lack the words, confidence, or strategy to claim what was rightfully theirs. In this audiobook, we will explore the timeless art of negotiation, not through manipulation or tricks, but through clarity, preparation, and authentic influence. You'll discover how to win, not just in business, but in everyday life. How to remain calm under pressure. How to read between the lines. How to turn conflict into cooperation, and how to shape the conversations that shape your destiny. By the end of this journey, you'll not only negotiate better deals, you'll negotiate a better life. The future you want is waiting to be claimed. Let's begin. Chapter 1. See every interaction as negotiation. Most people think of negotiation as something that happens in big boardrooms, with people in suits, papers spread across the table, and millions of dollars on the line. But here's the truth. Negotiation is happening all around you, every single day. It happens in small moments, quiet conversations, and even in the decisions you make with yourself. The problem is, most people don't see it. They walk through life unaware, thinking negotiation only matters when there's a contract involved. Because they don't see it, they give away their power without even realizing it. Think about the last time you asked for something important, a raise at work, a better price for something you wanted to buy, or even trying to convince your partner where to go for dinner. That was a negotiation. Every yes you get, and every no you hear, is part of a larger game of influence. The person who understands this game plays it intentionally. The person who doesn't ends up playing on someone else's terms. When you start viewing life through this lens, everything changes. You stop seeing conversations as random and start seeing them as opportunities to shape outcomes. Suddenly, a casual chat with a coworker becomes a chance to build trust. A disagreement with a friend becomes a moment to strengthen the relationship instead of weakening it. Even your inner dialogue, the choices you make about what to do and what to avoid, is a form of negotiation with yourself. When you hit snooze on the alarm, you just lost a negotiation. When you get up and take action, you won that battle. The first step to becoming a master negotiator is awareness. You can't win a game you don't know you're playing. So from this moment on, I want you to start paying attention. Notice the moments when someone is trying to persuade you. Listen carefully to the way people frame their words, the tone they use, and the way they position their ideas. Just becoming aware of these subtle moves will open your eyes to how influence really works. This mindset shift is powerful because it puts you in control. Instead of reacting blindly, you begin to respond strategically. You'll see opportunities you used to miss, and you'll stop giving away your time, energy, and resources so easily. It's like turning on a light in a dark room. You'll finally see what's been happening all along. From now on, every interaction you have, big or small, will be seen through the lens of negotiation. You'll begin to recognize patterns, anticipate outcomes, and take action with intention. This is where your journey begins. Before we dive into tactics and strategies, you must fully embrace this idea. Life itself is one long negotiation. Once you see that clearly, you'll never go back to living blindly, and that awareness alone will give you an edge that most people will never have. Chapter 2. Win the battle within yourself. Before you can win with others, you must first win with yourself. This is the most important lesson in negotiation, and yet, it's the one most people overlook. They rush to learn clever tactics, persuasive phrases, and psychological tricks, but they skip the foundation, self-mastery. You see, no matter how skilled you are at reading people or crafting the perfect argument, if you can't control your own emotions, you'll eventually lose. Think about the last time you felt frustrated or angry in a conversation. Maybe someone pushed your buttons, said something you didn't like, or made you feel small. In that moment, did you respond calmly and with clarity? Or did you react without thinking, saying, or doing something you later regretted? This happens to all of us. And in negotiation, those emotional slip-ups can cost you everything. Negotiation isn't just about words, it's about energy. If you bring desperation, fear, or anger into a discussion, the other person will sense it immediately, even if you don't say a word. Humans are wired to pick up on nonverbal cues. Your tone, your body language, even the way you breathe sends signals. When you feel uncertain, others feel it too. When you feel confident, they lean in and listen. That's why the first battle you must win is the one happening inside your own mind. You must train yourself to stay calm when others are heated, to stay focused when others are scattered, and to stay confident when others try to intimidate you. This isn't about pretending to be calm, it's about actually becoming calm. The truth is, most negotiations are lost long before they begin, because the person walks in already defeated internally. They carry negative beliefs like, I'm not good enough, or they hold all the power. These thoughts weaken your position before you've even spoken. If you don't believe in yourself, why would anyone else believe in you? So how do you win that inner battle? It starts with awareness. Notice your internal dialogue. When you catch yourself thinking small, pause. Ask yourself, is this belief helping me or hurting me? If it's hurting you, replace it with a thought that empowers you. For example, instead of saying, I hope they don't reject me, you say, I have value to bring, and they need what I offer. Next, focus on your emotional state. Before any negotiation, take a few minutes to center yourself. Breathe deeply. Imagine the outcome you want, and picture yourself handling the conversation with ease and confidence. This simple practice can completely shift the way you show up. If you walk in calm and centered, you automatically gain an advantage. Another key part of inner mastery is letting go of ego. Sometimes, we get so caught up in wanting to be right, wanting to win, that we lose sight of the bigger picture. Ego makes you reactive. It makes you take things personally. A great negotiator doesn't let insults or challenges shake them. They understand that negotiation isn't about proving yourself. It's about creating the best outcome. Remember this, the person who stays calm under pressure holds the most power. When two people are negotiating and one loses their cool, the other automatically gains the upper hand. So make it your mission to be unshakable. You do this by practicing emotional control, not just in negotiations, but in everyday life. When someone cuts you off in traffic, instead of yelling, take a breath. When a coworker says something irritating, respond with grace instead of anger. These small moments are your training ground. Winning the battle within yourself is also about confidence. Confidence doesn't come from faking it or puffing out your chest. Real confidence comes from preparation and self-respect. When you know you've done the work, when you've prepared, and you understand your worth, confidence naturally rises. That confidence will speak louder than any words you say. Here's the thing. People are drawn to calm, confident energy. They want to work with someone who makes them feel safe, not someone who seems desperate or chaotic. If you can become that calm, grounded presence, others will naturally trust you. And trust, as you'll discover in later chapters, is one of the most valuable currencies in negotiation. From this point forward, I want you to view every negotiation as a mirror. It reflects not just your skills, but your state of mind. If you walk in tense, scattered or insecure, the mirror will show it back to you through the other person's reactions. But if you walk in centered, confident and clear, you'll see a completely different reflection. So before you step into any negotiation, ask yourself, have I won the battle within? Have I mastered my emotions, my beliefs, and my mindset? If the answer is no, pause. Take a moment to prepare internally, because no amount of clever tactics will save you if you're fighting yourself. When you win this inner game, everything else becomes easier. Your words flow naturally. Your presence commands respect. And instead of forcing outcomes, you begin to shape them effortlessly. Chapter 3. Get crystal clear on your goals. Imagine walking into a negotiation without knowing exactly what you want. You sit down, you talk, you go back and forth, and then you leave feeling unsatisfied. Maybe you got something, maybe you didn't, but deep down you know you didn't get the best outcome. Why does this happen? Because you weren't clear. If you don't know what you want, you will settle for whatever someone else decides to give you. Clarity is power. It's like having a map before you start a journey. Without a map, you wander aimlessly, hoping you'll end up somewhere good. With a map, you know where you're going and how to get there. In negotiation, your goals are that map. When you know exactly what matters to you, you can stay focused and avoid being pulled off course by distractions, pressure, or clever tactics from the other side. Here's what many people don't realize. There's a big difference between what you think you want and what you really want. On the surface, your goal might seem simple. You want a raise. You want a lower price. You want someone to say yes to your idea. But those are surface-level goals. Beneath them lies something deeper. Respect, security, freedom, validation. The more you understand the real motivation behind your goal, the more powerful your negotiation becomes. For example, you might think you want a promotion just for the title or the money. But maybe deep down, what you really want is to feel valued for your contributions. That insight changes how you approach the conversation entirely. Before you enter any negotiation, take time to get crystal clear on three things: your ideal outcome, your acceptable outcome, and your walkaway point. Your ideal outcome is the best possible result you can imagine. This is your top target, your ultimate win. Your acceptable outcome is what you'd be genuinely satisfied with, even if it's not perfect. And your walkaway point is the line you will not cross, the moment where, if the terms aren't right, you're willing to politely stand up and leave. Knowing these three points does two things. First, it gives you confidence because you're prepared. Second, it protects you from making emotional decisions in the heat of the moment. Without these boundaries, it's easy to get caught up in the back and forth and either cave under pressure or overreach and ruin the deal. With them, you stay grounded and in control. Let's take a simple example. Suppose you're negotiating to buy a car. Your ideal outcome might be buying it for $20,000 with a year of free maintenance included. Your acceptable outcome might be $21,000 without the extras, and your walkaway point might be $22,000. If you've done this work ahead of time, you won't get swept up when the salesperson tries to push you beyond what's reasonable. You'll know when to push forward, when to compromise, and when to walk away. But this principle isn't just for money or material things. It applies to relationships, careers, even personal growth. Maybe you're negotiating with a business partner about roles and responsibilities. Your ideal outcome might be a perfectly balanced partnership. Your acceptable outcome might be a slight imbalance that you can live with. and your walkaway point might be a situation where you feel completely taken advantage of. By knowing these limits, you protect yourself and ensure that you're creating a future you actually want, not just reacting to what others want for you. Here's another layer to consider. Not every goal is purely external. Sometimes the most important negotiation is the one you have with yourself. Maybe you want to wake up earlier, get healthier, or start a side business. You are negotiating with your own mind every single day. Clarity matters here too. Vague goals like "I want to be healthier" don't create change. Clear goals like "I will exercise 3 times a week and cut out sugary drinks" do. Clarity also gives you leverage. When the other person senses that you know exactly what you want, they're less likely to try and manipulate you. People respect decisiveness. It signals strength. On the other hand, if you seem uncertain, they'll push and test you, because uncertainty is weakness in negotiation. To gain clarity, ask yourself these questions before any negotiation. What do I absolutely want to achieve? Why does this matter to me? What am I willing to compromise on? Where will I draw the line and walk away? Write down your answers. Don't just think about them, see them on paper. This simple act of writing clarifies your mind and strengthens your resolve. Remember this truth: if you don't define your goals, someone else will define them for you, and their goals will never be exactly aligned with yours. The people who succeed in life are the ones who know what they want and refuse to settle for less. So before you step into your next negotiation, whether it's with a boss, a client, a family member, or yourself, get crystal clear on your goals. Know your ideal outcome, your acceptable outcome, and your walkaway point. This clarity will be your compass, guiding every word, every decision, and every action. When you have that level of focus, you stop reacting and start creating. And in negotiation, the person who creates the direction almost always wins. Chapter 4. Prepare relentlessly before every negotiation. Here's a truth. Most people don't want to hear the real work of negotiation doesn't happen at the table. It happens long before you ever sit down to talk. The actual conversation is just the visible tip of the iceberg. Everything beneath the surface, your preparation, your research, your strategy, is what determines whether you walk away with a win or a loss. If you fail to prepare, you're simply gambling and hoping luck will be on your side. And hope is not a strategy. Think about a great athlete. They don't just show up on game day and hope for the best. They train, they study their opponents, they practice every move until it's second nature. By the time they step onto the field, the outcome has already been shaped by the work they put in behind the scenes. Negotiation works the same way. When you prepare relentlessly, you walk into the room with quiet confidence. You're not guessing. You're not improvising. You're ready. Preparation begins with understanding two things: yourself and the other party. Start with yourself. Be crystal clear on your goals. As we discussed in the previous chapter, know your ideal outcome, your acceptable outcome, and your walkaway point. Understand what you're willing to compromise on and what's non-negotiable. When you've done this inner work, you won't get lost or distracted when the pressure rises. Then shift your focus outward. This is where many people fall short. They prepare their arguments, but fail to understand the person sitting across from them. Your success depends on seeing the world through their eyes. What do they want? What are they afraid of? What pressures are they facing that you might not see? The more you know about their motivations, the easier it becomes to craft solutions that feel like a win for both sides. One of the most powerful questions you can ask yourself during preparation is, what problem am I helping them solve? Because at its core, negotiation isn't just about getting what you want, it's about aligning interests. If you can show the other person that working with you solves their problem, they'll fight to make the deal happen. Gather as much information as you can before you ever speak. This might mean doing research online, talking to mutual connections, or simply observing carefully. If you're negotiating for a raise, learn about your company's current financial situation, your boss's priorities, and the timing of upcoming projects. If you're closing a business deal, study the other company's recent challenges and victories. The more informed you are, the more leverage you have. Preparation isn't just about facts and figures, it's also about planning your approach. Think ahead about potential objections and how you'll respond to them. Rehearse key points out loud so you sound natural and confident. Consider different scenarios. What will you do if they push back hard? What will you say if they surprise you with an unexpected demand? When you've already thought through these possibilities, you won't be thrown off balance in the moment. Here's another piece of preparation people overlook: your emotional readiness. Negotiations can be stressful, and stress can cloud your judgment. Before the conversation, take time to get calm and centered. Breathe deeply. Visualize a successful outcome. Remind yourself of your value and the preparation you've done. When you enter the room with a composed state of mind, you project strength and stability, and that energy influences the other person more than you realize. Let me give you an example. Imagine two job candidates. One shows up with only a vague idea of what the role involves. The other has studied the company, the team, and the challenges they're facing. When the interviewer asks questions, the first candidate stumbles through general answers. The second speaks directly to the company's needs and offers specific solutions. Who do you think gets the job? The same principle applies to every negotiation. The person who's done the deeper work almost always comes out ahead. Preparation also builds something priceless: confidence. When you've done your homework, you don't have to fake confidence. You feel it naturally. You know what you're talking about. You know where you stand. And that calm certainty shows. People are drawn to it. They trust it. They're more willing to agree with someone who clearly knows their stuff. So here's your challenge: before every negotiation, spend at least twice as much time preparing as you think you need. Write down your goals. Study the other party. Plan your approach. Even if the negotiation seems small, treat it with respect. Over time, this habit will become your secret weapon. Most people won't do this work. They'll show up unprepared, scrambling to respond in the moment. You'll show up ready, confident, and in control. Remember, the negotiation is often decided before it even begins. When you prepare relentlessly, you don't just walk into a conversation, you walk in with a plan, a strategy, and the quiet certainty that you've already stacked the odds in your favor. And when you do that consistently, success stops being random and starts becoming predictable. Chapter 5: Earn Respect Before Seeking Agreement. If there's one thing you need to understand about negotiation, it's this: people don't say yes to deals, they say yes to people. They say yes to trust, they say yes to respect. Too many people walk into a negotiation focused only on what they want, rushing to make their point, to win their argument, to close the deal. But here's the truth: if the other person doesn't respect you, your words won't matter, your logic won't matter, even your offer won't matter. Think about it. Have you ever been in a conversation where someone was technically right, but you just didn't want to agree with them because of how they came across? Maybe they seemed pushy, arrogant, or fake. That's what happens when you skip the step of building respect. Negotiation is not just an exchange of ideas, it's a relationship. And relationships are built on trust. Respect begins the moment you interact with someone, often before a single word is spoken. It's in your tone, your body language, the way you show up. If you walk into a negotiation with desperation in your eyes, they'll sense it. If you walk in overconfident and arrogant, they'll sense that too. But if you walk in calm, grounded, and genuinely interested in understanding them, they'll feel it immediately, and that changes everything. Here's something powerful to remember. People want to feel seen and heard. When someone feels understood, they naturally open up and lower their guard. This is why the first part of any negotiation shouldn't be you talking. It should be you listening. Ask questions. Show genuine curiosity about their perspective, their challenges, their desires. Don't just do this as a tactic. Do it because it builds a real human connection. When you take time to truly understand the other person, something almost magical happens. They begin to see you not as an opponent, but as a partner. The conversation shifts from me versus you to us, working together to find a solution. That shift is priceless, because it turns resistance into collaboration, and it all starts with respect. But respect isn't only about how you treat them, it's also about how you carry yourself. If you don't respect yourself, others won't either. This means knowing your value and never undervaluing what you bring to the table. It doesn't matter if you're negotiating a business deal or a personal boundary. If you walk in timid, apologetic, or unsure of yourself, you'll be treated accordingly. Confidence, when it's quiet and authentic, commands respect. One way to earn respect quickly is to always come prepared. When you know your facts, when you've done your research, when you can speak clearly about the details, people will take you seriously. Preparation shows that you care. It signals that you're a professional, not someone just winging it. Most people don't go that extra mile, so when you do, it stands out. Another key to earning respect is integrity. Be the kind of person who keeps their word, even in small things. If you say you'll call at 3 o'clock, call at 3 o'clock. If you make a promise, keep it. These little actions may seem minor, but they build a reputation over time, and your reputation will often walk into the room before you do. When people know you're reliable, they'll naturally lean toward agreement, because they trust that you'll follow through. You also need to avoid one of the biggest respect killers, manipulation. Some people think negotiation is about tricking others, or playing games. But manipulation might win you a deal in the short term, while destroying your credibility in the long term. The goal isn't just to win today, it's to build lasting influence. And lasting influence comes from being fair, honest, and transparent. There will be times when you don't get exactly what you want. That's normal. But even in those moments, how you handle yourself matters. If you lose with grace, people will remember your professionalism and will be more likely to work with you in the future. Winning someone's respect is often more valuable than winning a single deal. Here's a simple mindset shift that can transform your negotiations. Before you seek agreement, seek understanding. Before you seek understanding, offer respect. If you focus on making the other person feel valued, heard, and safe, the agreement will often follow naturally. It doesn't mean you become a pushover. It means you create the conditions where real solutions can emerge. As you move forward, remember this: people may forget your exact words, but they'll never forget how you made them feel during a negotiation. If you make them feel small, they'll resist you. If you make them feel respected, they'll move toward you. Respect opens doors that no clever argument ever could. When you earn respect first, the negotiation becomes smoother, faster, and far more successful. It becomes less of a battle and more of a collaboration. And as your reputation for respect grows, you'll find that many doors will open for you automatically, because people trust you even before you speak. That's the real power of earning respect before seeking agreement. Chapter 6. Listen deeply to unspoken truths. Most people think they're good listeners. The reality, most of us don't actually listen. we wait for our turn to speak. While the other person is talking, we're already forming our response, rehearsing our arguments, or thinking about what we'll say next. That's not listening, that's waiting. And in negotiation, waiting will cost you. True listening is one of the most powerful skills you can develop as a negotiator. When you really listen, not just to the words but to the feelings, the pauses, and the tone beneath those words, you gain insight that others completely miss. The best negotiators don't win because they talk the most. They win because they understand the most. Here's the thing, people rarely say exactly what they mean. They speak in layers. The surface layer is what they tell you outright. Beneath that is what they actually want, what they're worried about, and what they're not ready to admit. If you can learn to listen past the surface, you'll discover the truth. And once you know the truth, you can guide the conversation with precision. Think about a time when someone said, "I'm fine," but you knew they weren't fine. You could feel it in their tone, or see it in their body language. That's what negotiation is like. A person might say they care about price, but what they really care about is feeling valued. They might argue about deadlines, but what they're truly afraid of is disappointing their boss. If you only hear the words, you'll negotiate on the surface. But if you tune into the deeper message, you'll address the real problem, and that's how deals are made. So how do you become a deep listener? It starts with being fully present. In a world full of distractions, this alone makes you stand out. When you're negotiating, put everything else aside. Don't glance at your phone. Don't let your mind wander. Give the other person your full attention, as if they are the most important person in the world at that moment. Because to them, they are. That kind of presence builds trust instantly. Next, practice silence. Most people are uncomfortable with pauses, so they rush to fill them. But silence is your friend. When you let a pause hang, the other person will often reveal more than they planned. They'll fill the space with valuable information, giving you clues about what they really think or feel. It takes discipline to stay quiet, but those quiet moments are where the gold is hidden. Another technique is to reflect back what you're hearing. This doesn't mean parroting their words. It means showing that you understand. For example, if someone says, "I'm concerned about the timeline," you might respond, "It sounds like meeting this deadline is really important to you." This simple reflection makes them feel heard, which lowers their defenses. And when defenses are down, honesty comes out. Pay attention to nonverbal signals as well. A person's body language can tell you when they're excited, when they're nervous, or when they're hiding something. Watch their posture, their facial expressions, even their breathing. These subtle cues can reveal more than their words ever could. Here's a powerful question to keep in mind: what's really driving this person? As you listen, try to piece together the story behind their words. Maybe they're under pressure from a boss, worried about finances, or afraid of losing face. When you uncover that deeper motivation, you gain leverage, not to manipulate, but to create solutions that truly satisfy them. Let me give you an example. Imagine you're negotiating with a client who keeps pushing back on price. On the surface, it looks like money is the issue. But through careful listening, you realize their real concern isn't the cost. It's their fear of looking bad if the project fails. Once you know this, you shift the conversation. Instead of arguing about numbers, you focus on building their confidence in your results. Suddenly, the resistance fades, and the deal moves forward. Deep listening isn't just about strategy, it's about connection. When someone feels deeply understood, they start to trust you, and trust changes everything. They'll share more openly, negotiate more honestly, and be far more willing to work with you toward a solution. But here's the catch: you can't fake it. People can tell when you're only pretending to listen. You have to genuinely care. This means letting go of your agenda for a moment and stepping fully into their world. When you do that, you'll hear things others miss, and those insights will give you an advantage that no tactic or trick can match. In negotiation, information is power, and the easiest way to gather information is to simply listen, really listen. The louder the world gets, the more valuable quiet understanding becomes. So slow down, tune in, hear the words, the tone, the pauses, and the emotions beneath it all. When you master deep listening, you'll stop reacting blindly. You'll start seeing patterns, motivations, and openings that others overlook. You'll stop negotiating on the surface and start working at the level where real change happens. And when you operate there, you don't just win deals, you build relationships, influence decisions, and create outcomes that last. Remember, the person who listens the deepest often speaks the least. But when they do speak, their words carry weight.
Chapter 7. Ask powerful questions that guide decisions. There's a saying in negotiation that the person asking the questions is the one quietly steering the ship. And it's true. Most people think control comes from talking more, arguing harder, or presenting brilliant points. But in reality, the person who asks the right questions often holds the most power, because questions direct attention, reveal information, and shape the entire conversation. Think about it. When you ask a question, you shift the focus. Instead of pushing your ideas onto the other person, you invite them to open up, to share what they're thinking, to reveal what they really want. And the more they talk, the more you learn. That information becomes your roadmap. It tells you where to go, what to avoid, and how to create an outcome that works for both of you. But not all questions are created equal. Some questions shut people down. Others open doors. If you ask, "Do you like this deal?" they can answer yes or no, and the conversation stalls. But if you ask, "What would make this deal a clear win for you?" now they have to think, to explain, to share details. That one question might uncover the exact terms you need to make the agreement happen. Powerful questions are open-ended. They start with words like what, how, or why. They encourage conversation instead of ending it. For example, instead of asking, "Are you okay with the timeline?" you could ask, "What concerns do you have about the timeline?" That small change transforms the conversation. One version seeks agreement. The other seeks understanding. And understanding is where influence lives. Here's another secret. Questions lower defenses. When you make statements, the other person can push back. But when you ask a question, you invite them to share their perspective. People love to feel heard. They love to feel like their opinions matter. And when they feel understood, they become far more open to hearing your ideas in return. Let's say you're negotiating with a client who seems hesitant. Instead of launching into a long speech about why your offer is perfect, you might ask, "What's holding you back from moving forward?" That one question turns the spotlight on their concerns. It shows you care about their point of view, and it gives you the information you need to address their hesitation directly. Another type of powerful question is the kind that reframes the conversation. For example, if someone says, "The price is too high," you could respond with, "What would make this price feel completely worth it to you?" Now, instead of arguing about numbers, you're talking about value. You've shifted the frame from cost to benefits, and that changes the entire discussion. You can also use questions to guide people toward seeing things differently, without ever telling them they're wrong. If someone insists on an unrealistic deadline, you might ask, "How would we ensure quality if we cut the timeline in half?" That question forces them to think about the risks, rather than you simply arguing against it. People are far more likely to change their minds when they arrive at the conclusion themselves. Here's a simple exercise. Before any negotiation, Write down 5 to 10 questions you can use to guide the conversation. Some should gather information, what matters most to you in this deal. Some should uncover obstacles, what challenges might get in the way. Others should expand possibilities, what would a perfect outcome look like for you? With these questions ready, you won't feel stuck when the conversation gets tense. But remember, it's not just about asking questions, it's about asking them with genuine curiosity. If your tone feels manipulative, people will shut down. Ask because you want to understand, not because you're playing some clever trick. When your questions come from a place of respect, people open up. The real magic happens when you combine deep listening from the last chapter with powerful questioning. You ask, you listen carefully, you ask again. Slowly, the other person reveals their needs, their worries, their goals, and once you have that information, you can craft a solution that feels like a win for everyone. Questions turn negotiations from battles into conversations. They take the pressure off you to have all the answers and put the focus where it belongs, on finding the best outcome. So talk less, ask more. Guide the discussion with curiosity and respect. Because in negotiation, the person asking the right questions is often the one quietly shaping the deal without ever needing to shout. Chapter 8. Shape the conversation by setting the frame. Every negotiation happens inside a frame. Think of a frame as the invisible lens through which both people see the situation. The frame decides what feels normal, what feels urgent, and what feels important. And here's the key. The person who sets the frame has a massive advantage. They don't have to push or force. They simply shape the way the conversation unfolds, and the other person naturally plays along. Most people don't even realize this is happening. They walk into a negotiation reacting to someone else's frame. Maybe the other person sets the tone by saying, "We don't have much time, so let's make this quick." Instantly you feel rushed. Or they start with, "The budget is very tight." Suddenly, you're on the defensive, fighting to justify every dollar. Without even knowing it, you've been pulled into their world. And once you're inside their frame, you're playing their game. The solution? Take control early. Decide before you walk in how you want the conversation to feel. Do you want it to be collaborative? Do you want to create a sense of value and possibility? Or do you need to establish firm boundaries and seriousness? When you enter with a clear intention, you set the frame from the very first words you speak. Framing often begins with how you open the negotiation. For example, instead of starting with numbers or demands, you might start with a vision. "I'm glad we're sitting down today because I believe there's a solution here that can benefit both of us." Those words immediately create a cooperative frame. Contrast that with, "We need to settle this issue today." That opening creates tension and pressure. Same conversation, completely different energy, all because of the frame you set. Another way to shape the frame is by deciding what the focus will be. People naturally focus on what's presented to them first. If you start by talking about the value you bring, the discussion will center around value. If you start by apologizing for the cost, the entire negotiation will orbit around price. You are always framing, whether you realize it or not. So why not do it intentionally? Here's an example. Imagine you're selling a service. If you lead by saying, "I know our fees are a bit higher than others," you've just framed the entire conversation around cost, and likely in a negative way. But if you open with, "Our clients work with us because we consistently deliver results that exceed expectations," you've framed the conversation around excellence and outcomes. The second frame makes price almost secondary, because the focus has shifted to results. Framing isn't about manipulation, it's about clarity. You're simply guiding how the other person experiences the conversation. The truth is, people want to be guided, They want someone to take the lead and create a clear path. When you provide that structure, they feel safer and more confident in the decisions they make. You can also reframe situations when things start going off track. Suppose someone says, "We don't have the budget for this." If you accept that statement at face value, the negotiation stalls. But if you reframe by saying, "I understand budgets are always tight, but let's explore how this solution might actually save you money long term," you've shifted the frame from cost to investment. The problem didn't disappear, but now you're looking at it through a different lens, one that gives you room to move forward. Pay attention to language. Words are powerful framing tools. The way you describe something changes how people feel about it. For instance, calling a deadline impossible creates resistance. Calling it a challenge we can solve together invites teamwork. The facts haven't changed, but the frame has, and with it, the emotions in the room. Confidence plays a huge role in framing. If you're hesitant, the other person will naturally fill the space and set their own frame. But when you speak calmly and clearly, you establish an unspoken authority. You don't need to dominate the conversation. You just need to set the tone early and maintain it consistently. One of the most effective ways to control the frame is through storytelling. Humans are wired to respond to stories. If you tell a brief story that illustrates your point, you create a narrative frame that's hard to escape. Instead of arguing facts, you're inviting the other person into a shared story, and they'll often follow you willingly. Remember, every conversation has a frame. If you don't set it, someone else will. Before you step into any negotiation, ask yourself, "What frame do I want to create? What do I want this conversation to feel like?" Then craft your opening words, your questions, and even your body language to support that vision. When you learn to shape the frame, you stop being reactive. You stop getting pulled into other people's narratives. Instead, you create your own. And when you do, the entire negotiation becomes smoother, more focused, and far more likely to end with a result that serves you well. This is one of the quiet powers of a skilled negotiator. They don't just talk about the deal, they shape the world in which the deal takes place. Chapter 9. Use silence and timing as weapons. Silence can feel uncomfortable. Most people rush to fill it the moment it appears. In everyday conversations, we think silence means something has gone wrong, that someone is upset, that we've lost their attention, or that we need to say more to keep things moving. But in negotiation, silence is not a problem. Silence is power. When used correctly, it can shift the balance of control without you having to say a single word. Here's why silence works. People are naturally uncomfortable with it. When a pause stretches for just a few seconds, most people will instinctively fill the space, and in their rush to speak, they often reveal information they hadn't planned to share. They might backtrack, soften their stance, or even negotiate against themselves. All you did was wait. That's why silence is one of the simplest yet most powerful tools you can bring to the table. Imagine this scenario. You make an offer, and instead of immediately defending it or explaining why it's fair, you simply stay quiet. The other person starts to wonder what you're thinking. They feel the weight of the pause, and suddenly they start talking. Maybe they justify their position. Maybe they add more details. Maybe they even say, "Well, maybe we can meet you halfway." That moment of silence gave you leverage without a single extra word. But silence alone isn't enough. Timing matters just as much. A well-placed pause can create pressure, while speaking too soon can destroy your advantage. Think of negotiation like music. It's not just the notes that make it beautiful, it's also the spaces between the notes. Those spaces give rhythm and meaning to the entire piece. Timing is about knowing when to speak, when to listen, and when to wait. Sometimes you need to let an idea sink in before moving forward. For example, if you've just shared a key point or a bold proposal, resist the urge to keep talking. Let the other person sit with it. The silence allows your words to land with more weight. If you rush to fill the space, you might weaken your position or accidentally undermine your message. Patience is another form of timing. Too many people sabotage their own negotiations because they're in a hurry. They want to close the deal fast, to get to a resolution, to make the discomfort go away. But urgency is visible, and it makes you vulnerable. When the other person senses you're desperate for a quick outcome, they'll slow things down on purpose. They know the longer it drags on, the more likely you are to cave. The antidote is calm patience. Be willing to take your time. If someone gives you an offer, don't respond right away. Pause, think, let the silence stretch just a little longer than feels comfortable. This shows strength. It signals that you're not easily swayed, that you're considering carefully, and that you have other options. Even if you're eager inside, your calm timing on the outside communicates confidence. Here's a powerful move. When the other person makes a demand or presents a problem, don't rush to solve it immediately. Instead, take a breath. Count to three in your mind if you need to. Then, respond thoughtfully. This tiny delay shows you're deliberate, not reactive. And in negotiation, the one who reacts the least often holds the most power. Timing also matters in how you structure the negotiation itself. The order in which topics are discussed, the moment when you introduce certain information, even the time of day you choose to meet, all of these factors influence the outcome. For instance, discussing money at the very end, after trust has been built and value has been demonstrated, is often far more effective than leading with price. The key is to remember that silence and timing are subtle. They don't draw attention to themselves. When used well, they simply create space, space for the other person to reveal their thoughts, space for tension to build, space for the right decision to emerge. Practice this skill in small ways. The next time you're in a conversation, notice your urge to fill every pause. Instead, just listen. Let the silence hang for a moment. Watch how the other person responds. Over time, you'll become comfortable with that stillness, and it will become a natural part of your negotiation style. Silence and timing are like invisible threads. You can't see them, but they hold the whole conversation together. When you master them, you'll find that you don't need to argue loudly or speak endlessly to be effective. Your calm pauses, your patient waiting, and your well-timed responses will speak louder than words. And in a world full of noise, that quiet strength will set you apart as a true master negotiator.
Chapter 10. Turn difficult situations into mutual wins. No matter how skilled you become, there will be moments in negotiation where things get tense. Maybe the other person is angry. Maybe they're stubborn. Maybe you feel the heat rising in your own chest. These moments are challenging, but they're also opportunities. The way you handle difficult situations can either destroy a relationship or transform it into something stronger. Most people see conflict as a battle. There's a winner and a loser, a right side and a wrong side. And when you approach negotiation with that mindset, it becomes a fight. You push, they push back. You raise your voice, they raise theirs. The whole conversation spirals downward. Even if you win the deal, you often lose the relationship. That's a hollow victory. True negotiation masters know there's a better way. The key is to stop viewing the other person as an enemy and start viewing them as a potential partner. Even when they're being difficult, even when they seem completely against you, there's usually something you both want. Resolution. If you can shift the focus from me versus you to us, versus the problem, everything changes. Instead of fighting each other, you work together to solve the challenge in front of you. This starts with your own mindset. When someone comes at you with anger or aggression,
your instinct might be to fight back or shut down. Don't. Stay calm, take a breath. Remember what we discussed in earlier chapters. The person who remains calm under pressure has the real power. If you can hold steady when others are losing control, you automatically set the tone for the entire interaction. Next, focus on understanding their perspective. Difficult behavior often comes from fear, frustration, or unmet needs. If someone is yelling about price, maybe they're terrified of losing their job if they overspend. If they're resisting change, maybe they've been burned by past experiences. By listening deeply and asking thoughtful questions, you can uncover what's really driving their behavior. Once you see the root cause, you can address it directly. Here's an example. Imagine a client who's furious about a delay in delivery. On the surface, they seem unreasonable. But when you dig deeper, you discover that their own boss has been threatening them over this project. Suddenly, it's not just about a late shipment, it's about their fear of failure. With that knowledge, you can shift the conversation. Instead of defending yourself, you focus on how to protect their reputation and help them succeed. That turns a conflict into a partnership. When tensions run high, use empathy as your secret weapon. Empathy doesn't mean agreeing with everything the other person says. It simply means acknowledging their feelings. A simple phrase like, "I can see how frustrating this must be for you," can lower defenses instantly. People calm down when they feel heard. Once they're calmer, logic and solutions have a chance to enter the conversation. Another powerful technique is to reframe the situation. When someone says, "This is impossible," you might respond with, "It's definitely a challenge, but let's explore what might make it possible." That subtle shift changes the energy. You've moved from a dead-end frame to a forward-moving one. Difficult situations often seem stuck because both sides are trapped in negative frames. Your job is to open a window and let in fresh air. Sometimes, turning conflict into collaboration means getting creative. Look for hidden options that satisfy both sides. Maybe the deal can be structured differently. Maybe you can add value in a way they didn't expect. Often, what seems like a zero-sum game is actually a puzzle with multiple solutions. You just need to look beyond the obvious. Of course, not every negotiation will end perfectly. There will be times when you need to stand firm or even walk away. But even then, how you handle yourself matters. If you remain respectful and professional, you keep the door open for future opportunities. Burning bridges rarely serves you in the long run. The most rewarding negotiations are the ones where both sides leave feeling like they've gained something meaningful. That doesn't always mean everyone gets exactly what they wanted. It means they feel respected, understood, and valued. When you can create that experience, even in difficult situations, you build relationships that last far beyond the deal itself. So the next time you face a tough negotiation, remember this: conflict is not the enemy. Poor handling of conflict is the enemy. With calmness, empathy, and creativity, you can turn even the most challenging moments into stepping stones toward trust and cooperation. Difficult situations are where true negotiation mastery is revealed, not in how you talk when things are easy, but in how you lead when things are hard.
Chapter 11. Turn rejection into future opportunity. No matter how skilled you are, no matter how prepared or persuasive you become, there's one thing you can never avoid completely in negotiation: rejection. You will hear the word no. Sometimes you'll hear it loudly and immediately. Other times, it will come in a softer form. Maybe later, "We'll think about it," or "It's just not the right time." And if you don't understand how to handle rejection, it can feel crushing. Most people take rejection personally. They see it as proof that they weren't good enough, smart enough, or persuasive enough. They walk away defeated,
replaying the conversation in their heads, questioning everything they said. But here's the truth. Rejection is not the end of the road. In fact, rejection is often the beginning of something bigger, if you know how to use it. The first step is to change how you view rejection. When someone says no, it's not necessarily a reflection of you. More often, it's a reflection of their current circumstances, fears, or priorities. Maybe the timing is wrong. Maybe they don't have the budget. Maybe they're dealing with pressures you don't see. Their no might have very little to do with your value, and everything to do with what's going on in their world. Understanding this keeps you from internalizing rejection and losing confidence. Think about some of the greatest success stories in history. Nearly every one of them includes rejection. Best-selling authors were turned down by dozens of publishers. Entrepreneurs were told their ideas would never work. Visionaries were laughed at before they were celebrated. The difference between those who succeed and those who quit is simple. The successful ones didn't see rejection as final. They saw it as feedback, as information, as fuel to keep going. In negotiation, a no can be incredibly valuable because it gives you clarity. It shows you what doesn't work, what matters most to the other person, and where their boundaries are. Instead of storming out or shutting down, get curious. Ask questions. What would need to change for this to feel like a yes for you? Or can you help me understand what's holding you back? These questions turn rejection into a conversation instead of a dead end. Sometimes, a no is really a not yet. Timing plays a huge role in negotiation. Just because someone isn't ready today, doesn't mean they won't be ready in 6 months. The key is to leave the interaction on a positive note. Don't burn bridges. Don't let frustration leak into your tone or words. If you handle rejection with grace, you keep the door open for future opportunities. If you handle it poorly, you slam that door shut forever. One powerful way to respond to rejection is by offering value, even when you're not getting what you want. Let's say a potential client says no to working with you. Instead of walking away cold, you might share a useful resource or piece of advice that genuinely helps them. This builds goodwill and shows that you care about their success, not just your own. When circumstances change later, guess who they'll think of first? You. Rejection also gives you a chance to reflect and improve. After the conversation is over, take a step back. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? Maybe you discovered that you didn't communicate your value clearly enough. Maybe you realized you need to build more trust before making the ask. Every no contains a lesson if you're willing to look for it. Over time, those lessons make you sharper and more resilient. Here's something many people overlook. How you handle rejection is part of your reputation. If you respond with anger or defensiveness, people will remember that. But if you stay calm, professional, and respectful, they'll remember that too. And often they'll respect you more for it. Sometimes, a no today can turn into a yes tomorrow simply because of how gracefully you handled the moment. Imagine this: you're negotiating a partnership, and the other side ultimately declines. Instead of sulking, you thank them sincerely for their time, express your hope to work together in the future, and keep in touch. Months later, when they face a new challenge, who do you think they'll call? Not the person who left bitter and angry, the person who left with dignity and respect. Rejection is not a stop sign, it's a detour sign. It's redirecting you towards something better, whether that's a different deal, a different strategy, or a different timeline. The greatest negotiators are not the ones who avoid rejection, they're the ones who know how to turn it into their advantage. So the next time you hear no, take a breath. Don't let it shake your confidence. Instead, see it as information. See it as practice. See it as proof that you're in the game, taking bold steps toward your future. And most importantly, leave the other person with a positive impression, because today's no, handled well, could very easily become tomorrow's yes. Chapter 12. Walk away. When the deal is wrong, one of the hardest truths to accept in negotiation is this. Sometimes the best deal you can make is no deal at all. It's tempting to believe that walking away means failure. After all, you've invested time, energy, and emotion into the conversation. You've prepared, you've strategized, and you want to win. But here's the reality, winning doesn't always mean getting a yes. Sometimes, true power is in saying no and having the courage to walk away. Why is this so difficult? Because we're wired to avoid loss. When you've spent hours or even weeks negotiating, it's natural to want something to come out of it, even if it's not what you truly need. This is called the sunk cost trap. You keep pushing forward because you don't want to feel like all your effort was wasted. But if the terms aren't right, agreeing to them won't fix the problem. It will only create bigger problems down the road. A bad deal is worse than no deal. Think about that for a moment. A bad deal doesn't just leave you empty-handed. It can drain your resources, damage your reputation, and tie you to commitments that limit your future opportunities. It's like signing a contract with chains built into it. You might feel like you've achieved something, but you've actually given away your freedom. The key to avoiding this trap is preparation. Before you ever sit down at the table, you must know your walk-away point. This is the line you will not cross, no matter what. It's the boundary that protects you from desperation and manipulation. When you're clear about this point, decisions become simpler. You don't get swept away by emotions or pressure tactics because you already know where you stand. But here's the challenge. Walking away takes immense courage. It requires self-respect and faith in your own value. If you secretly believe this is your only chance, you'll be tempted to accept whatever scraps you're offered. That's why mindset matters so much. You must approach every negotiation with the belief that there are always other options, even if you can't see them yet. When you know your worth, you won't feel the need to cling to a deal that doesn't serve you. Let's say you're negotiating a job offer. You need the income, and you really like the company. But during the process, you notice red flags, unreasonable expectations, vague promises, or lack of respect. Deep down, you know this isn't the right fit. Walking away feels terrifying. What if you don't get another offer? What if this was your one shot? But imagine the alternative. You accept the job and spend months or years frustrated, underpaid and undervalued. Which choice is truly safer? The short-term fear of walking away or the long-term pain of staying stuck? Walking away also sends a powerful message. It tells the other party that you cannot be pressured, that you operate from strength, not desperation. Ironically, many negotiations are salvaged at the very moment someone is willing to walk away. When you stand up and say, "These terms don't work for me," it often shifts the dynamic completely. Suddenly, the other side realizes they might lose you, and that fear can inspire them to make a better offer. Of course, you don't have to be dramatic about it. Walking away doesn't mean slamming doors or burning bridges. It can be calm and professional. A simple statement like, "I appreciate the discussion, but this doesn't align with my goals right now," is enough. Leave with dignity, and you'll keep the relationship intact for future possibilities. The best negotiators know that a deal should be evaluated, not just on its immediate rewards, but on its long-term consequences. Will this agreement help you grow, or will it hold you back? Will it strengthen your reputation, or damage it? These are questions worth asking before you say yes. Sometimes, walking away isn't just about the deal itself, it's about protecting your identity. When you accept something that goes against your values or self-respect, you compromise more than money or terms. You compromise who you are, and no negotiation is worth that price. Walking away is never easy. Your heart might pound, your voice might shake,
and doubts might swirl in your mind. But remember this, walking away is not rejection, it's direction. It's you choosing to stay aligned with your vision and your worth. And every time you do it, you build strength, confidence, and freedom. So before you enter your next negotiation, decide where your line is, know your boundaries, and if the deal crosses that line, have the courage to stand up, thank them sincerely, and walk away. Because sometimes, the most powerful yes you'll ever give is the one you give to yourself when you say, no, this deal isn't right for me.
Chapter 13. Build a reputation that attracts success. Long before you ever sit down at a negotiation table, decisions about you are already being made. People talk, they observe, they remember. Your reputation walks into the room before you do, and it speaks louder than any pitch, argument, or strategy you could ever bring. In many cases, your reputation will determine the outcome of a negotiation before the first word is spoken. Think about someone you admire and trust. If they made you an offer, you'd probably lean toward saying yes without much hesitation. Why? Because their track record has already proven who they are. Now, imagine the opposite, a person with a reputation for being dishonest or unreliable. Even if their offer looked good on paper, you'd be cautious, maybe even suspicious. That's the power of reputation. It sets the stage for how others treat you. When you consistently show up with integrity, preparation, and respect, you create a brand around your name. Over time, people begin to associate you with excellence. They know you keep your promises. They know you bring value wherever you go. And because of that, negotiations become easier. Instead of having to fight for every inch, you'll find doors opening naturally. People want to work with those they trust. They want to align with people who make them feel safe and respected. Building a strong reputation starts with something simple: doing what you say you'll do. It sounds basic, but you'd be amazed how many people fail at this. When you promise to call at 10 a.m., call at 10 a.m. When you say you'll deliver by Friday, deliver by Friday, or sooner. Every small commitment you keep adds a brick to the foundation of your reputation. And when you break those commitments, even the small ones, cracks begin to form. Your reputation is built not in big dramatic moments, but in the quiet, consistent actions of daily life. It's how you treat the waiter at lunch. It's how you respond to setbacks. It's whether you show up prepared or scramble at the last minute. These things may seem minor, but they leave lasting impressions. People remember how you make them feel, and those feelings ripple out through your entire network. Respect plays a huge role here. When you treat others with genuine respect, regardless of their status or position, you elevate yourself. People notice when you listen without interrupting, when you acknowledge their ideas, when you show appreciation. Respect is magnetic. It draws others toward you and makes them more willing to cooperate when it matters most. Another part of building a powerful reputation is staying calm under pressure. In tough negotiations, emotions run high. If you can remain steady and professional while others lose their cool, you instantly stand out as a leader. Even when things don't go your way, your grace in handling disappointment builds trust. People will think, if they can handle this situation so well, I want to work with them again. Your reputation also extends beyond individual conversations. It's about the ripple effect of how you operate in the world. When you help others succeed, even when there's nothing in it for you, people remember. When you share knowledge freely, when you connect people with opportunities, you become known as someone who lifts others up. That kind of reputation is priceless. It attracts allies, mentors, and future collaborators. Of course, reputation can work against you too. If you're careless, manipulative, or inconsistent, word will spread. People will hesitate to negotiate with you, or they'll come in with their guard up, expecting conflict. Repairing a damaged reputation is possible, but it's far harder than building a strong one from the start. Protect your name as if it were your most valuable asset, because it is. Here's a practical way to think about it. Every interaction is a deposit or a withdrawal in the bank account of your reputation. When you keep promises, show kindness, and demonstrate excellence, you're making deposits. When you lie, cut corners, or act selfishly, you're making withdrawals. The goal is to keep that account overflowing, so that when challenges arise, you have plenty of trust to draw from. Over time, a great reputation becomes a silent negotiator working on your behalf. People will recommend you before you even meet. Opportunities will come to you without you having to chase them. And when you do sit down at the table, the other person will already be leaning toward agreement, because they believe in you. Remember, deals come and go, but your reputation stays. You might win a negotiation today through clever tactics, but if you damage your reputation in the process, you'll pay a far greater price later. Play the long game. Build a name that represents honesty, reliability, and value. When you focus on your reputation, you're not just negotiating for this moment, you're negotiating for every future moment that follows. A single conversation can create ripples that last for years. Make sure those ripples work in your favor. When people hear your name, you want them to think, "That's someone I can trust. That's someone I want to work with." And when you reach that level, many negotiations will be won before they even begin. Your reputation will speak for you, opening doors you didn't even know existed, and shaping a future full of opportunities that come looking for you instead of the other way around. Chapter 14. Adapt your style to any situation. No two negotiations are ever the same. The people are different. The circumstances are different. The stakes are different. And because of that, there's no single approach that works every time. If you go into every negotiation using the exact same style, you'll win some and lose others, and you'll never really understand why. The most successful negotiators are flexible. They can read the room, sense the energy, and adjust their approach in real time. They don't abandon their principles, but they do adapt their delivery. Think about it like this. If you were speaking to a child, a teacher, and a CEO, you wouldn't use the exact same words or tone with each of them. Not because you're being fake, but because each person understands the world in a different way. Negotiation works the same way. The better you are at meeting people where they are, the more influence you'll have. The first step is awareness. Pay attention to the other person's style. Are they direct and fast-paced, or do they prefer to take their time and think things through? Are they focused on facts and numbers, or are they more concerned with relationships and feelings? When you can identify what matters most to them, you can tailor your approach to match. This doesn't mean you lose yourself or become someone you're not. It means you're speaking their language, making it easier for them to connect with you. For example, imagine you're negotiating with someone who's very detail-oriented. They care about every number, every line in the contract. If you come in with vague promises and broad statements, they'll feel uneasy. But if you bring clear data, well-organized points, and precise answers, they'll respect you and be more likely to agree. Now imagine the opposite, someone who's big picture and visionary. If you drown them in spreadsheets and fine print, they'll lose interest. They want to hear about possibilities, outcomes, and impact. Adjusting your communication style shows that you understand them, and understanding builds trust. Cultural awareness is another vital part of adaptation. In some cultures, directness is valued. People appreciate when you get straight to the point. In others, that same directness might come across as rude or aggressive. In some places, silence is a sign of thoughtfulness. In others, it feels like disapproval. If you ignore these nuances, you risk creating tension without even realizing it. Before entering an international or cross-cultural negotiation, take time to learn about their norms and expectations. A little preparation can prevent major misunderstandings. Adapting also means adjusting to the environment. A negotiation in a high-pressure corporate boardroom has a very different vibe than a conversation over coffee with a longtime partner. The setting influences people's moods and behaviors. When the atmosphere is tense, you might need to bring extra calm and patience. When the environment is casual, you can be more conversational and relaxed. Matching your energy to the environment helps the other person feel comfortable, and comfort leads to openness. Sometimes, the person you're negotiating with will shift during the conversation. They may start off calm and then get defensive, or they may begin skeptical and slowly warm up. A skilled negotiator notices these shifts and responds accordingly. If they get tense, you don't mirror their tension. You ground yourself and bring calm. If they open up, you meet them with enthusiasm. This dynamic flexibility shows that you're paying attention, and it helps keep the negotiation moving forward smoothly. Here's an important point. Adapting does not mean being manipulative. You're not pretending to be someone you're not. You're simply choosing the most effective way to communicate your message so it can be received. Think of it like adjusting the volume on a radio. The song stays the same. You just make sure it's playing at a level the listener can hear clearly. Adapting also protects you when negotiations become unpredictable. If you cling rigidly to one strategy, you'll feel stuck the moment things go differently than planned. But if you stay open and flexible, you can pivot easily. You'll be able to improvise, adjust, and find new paths to agreement, even when challenges arise. The best way to build this skill is through practice. Pay attention in your everyday conversations. Notice how different people respond to different tones, words, and approaches. Experiment with small adjustments and watch the results. Over time, you'll develop an instinct for reading people and situations quickly. In the end, adaptability is about respect. It's about showing others that you value them enough to meet them where they are. When people feel understood, they lower their defenses. They stop seeing you as an adversary and start seeing you as a partner. And when that happens, negotiations become smoother, faster, and far more successful. The world is full of diverse personalities, cultures, and contexts. You'll never control them all, but you can control how you show up. By adapting your style with intelligence and authenticity, you give yourself a powerful edge. You become someone who can walk into any room, connect with any person, and navigate any situation, not by force, but by understanding. And in negotiation, that kind of skill is worth more than any single tactic or trick you could ever learn. Chapter 15. Negotiate daily to create your ideal future. When most people hear the word negotiation, they picture a formal meeting, a business deal, or a high-stakes conversation. They think it's something that happens only in boardrooms, contract signings, or tense job interviews. But here's the truth. Negotiation isn't a rare event, it's a daily practice. It's happening in the little choices you make, the conversations you have, and even the silent battles inside your own mind. Every morning when you wake up, you are negotiating with yourself. When the alarm rings and you want to hit snooze, there's a negotiation happening. Part of you wants to stay comfortable, and part of you wants to get up and build the life you dream of. When you choose to rise, take action, and honor your goals, you've won that negotiation. When you give in to excuses, you've lost not just time but momentum. This is why negotiation is about so much more than deals with other people. It's about creating your ideal future, one decision at a time. The conversations you have with others and with yourself are shaping the direction of your life right now. The food you eat, the way you spend your money, the boundaries you set in relationships, all of these are negotiations. Every yes and every no is a vote for the kind of future you're building. Think about the way you interact with others. When you talk to your boss about a new project, that's a negotiation. When you discuss household responsibilities with your partner, that's a negotiation. Even deciding where to go for dinner with friends involves influence, compromise, and understanding. The skills you've been learning in this audiobook aren't just for closing deals, they're for navigating life. When you approach daily interactions with awareness and intention, you stop leaving your future to chance. One of the most powerful ways to use negotiation daily is to advocate for yourself. Too often people settle for less because they're afraid to speak up. They think, "I don't want to seem difficult," or "I should just be grateful for what I have." Gratitude is important, but so is self-respect. When you don't ask for what you need, you train others to overlook your value. Whether it's negotiating your salary, setting boundaries with family, or standing up for your time, every act of self-advocacy is a step toward the life you want. Daily negotiation also involves influence, not manipulation, but genuine influence that inspires others to work with you, not against you. When you build trust, listen deeply, and communicate clearly, you create harmony in your relationships. This doesn't mean you'll always get your way, but it does mean you'll create outcomes that serve everyone involved. Imagine how much smoother your life becomes when the people around you feel respected and heard. That's the power of everyday negotiation. Another important element is consistency. One strong negotiation won't change your life overnight. It's the accumulation of small, consistent wins that shape your future. Saying no to an unhealthy habit today, asking for help when you need it, taking the time to prepare before an important conversation. These may seem like small things in the moment, but over time, they add up to massive change. Here's something to remember. Your future isn't something that just happens to you. It's something you create through the deals you make today. Every agreement you accept, every compromise you make, every line you draw, they're all bricks in the foundation of your future. If you don't negotiate with clarity and courage, you risk building a future you don't actually want. Of course, this doesn't mean you need to control everything or fight for every little thing. Some battles aren't worth fighting. Part of being a great negotiator is knowing when to let go and when to stand firm. The key is intentionality. If you're saying yes, let it be a conscious yes. If you're saying no, let it be a confident no. As you apply these skills daily, you'll notice something amazing. Life begins to feel less like a series of random events and more like a path you're actively shaping. You'll stop feeling like a passenger and start feeling like the driver. And that sense of empowerment will ripple into every area of your life, your career, your relationships, your health, and your happiness. The negotiation skills you've learned aren't just tools for better deals, they're tools for a better life. When you negotiate with others, you shape your relationships. When you negotiate with yourself, you shape your character. And when you combine the two, you shape your destiny. So as you move forward, remember this: you don't have to wait for the big moments to practice negotiation. Every day is filled with opportunities to speak up, to listen, to influence, and to decide. The future you dream of isn't somewhere far away. It's being built right now. Through the choices you make and the negotiations you win, show up with clarity, show up with courage, and most of all, show up knowing that you have the power to create the life you truly want, one conversation at a time. Conclusion. As we come to the end of this audiobook, I want you to take a deep breath and reflect on everything you've just learned. We've talked about strategies, mindsets, skills, and techniques. We've explored how to read people, ask the right questions, build trust, handle rejection, and even walk away when the deal isn't right. But at the heart of it all, there's one powerful truth. Negotiation is not just about getting better deals from other people, it's about creating the life you truly want. Every conversation you have, every decision you make, is a negotiation. You're constantly influencing and being influenced. Sometimes it's obvious, like when you're closing a business deal or asking for a raise. Other times it's quiet and subtle, like when you decide how to spend your time, what boundaries you'll set, or what dreams you'll pursue. Whether you realize it or not, you are always at the table. And the choices you make are shaping your future, one agreement at a time. The question isn't whether you're negotiating, the question is whether you're negotiating well. Are you showing up prepared and clear about what you want? Are you listening deeply, not just to others, but to yourself? Are you willing to stand firm when it matters, and just as willing to walk away when it's not right? These are the questions that will determine whether you drift through life or design it intentionally. Negotiation is really about two things, value and vision. Value is what you bring to the table, your skills, your knowledge, your character. Vision is where you want to go, the life you're building, the dreams you're chasing, the legacy you want to leave behind. When you know your value and you're crystal clear on your vision, you negotiate from a place of strength. You stop accepting scraps. You stop settling for less. You stop living on someone else's terms. Remember, the most important negotiation you'll ever have isn't with a boss, a client, or a competitor. It's with yourself. It's the negotiation between your excuses and your potential, between your fears and your dreams, between the comfort of the present and the possibilities of the future. Every morning, when you decide how you'll show up, you are negotiating your destiny. There will be setbacks along the way. You will face rejection. You will face difficult people. There will be moments when walking away feels terrifying, and moments when speaking up feels risky. But those are the moments that shape you. Those are the tests that build your courage, your clarity, and your resilience. If you take just one thing from this audiobook, let it be this: you have more power than you think. The power to influence, the power to persuade, the power to shape outcomes, not through force or manipulation, but through preparation, empathy, and authenticity. You don't have to wait for someone to give you permission. You don't have to hope that things will magically fall into place. You can step up, take control, and negotiate for the future you deserve. Imagine looking back years from now and realizing that every meaningful relationship, every career breakthrough, every dream you achieved was the result of the choices you made and the conversations you navigated with intention. That's not just possible, it's inevitable, when you decide to live as a master negotiator. So as you close this audiobook, ask yourself, what's the next negotiation I need to have? Maybe it's a bold conversation with someone important. Maybe it's a quiet moment with yourself, deciding what you really want. Whatever it is, approach it with confidence, clarity, and courage. Your future is the greatest deal you'll ever make. Don't settle for terms that don't align with who you are and what you dream of becoming. From this moment forward, show up to every interaction, knowing you have the tools to shape outcomes, build influence, and create opportunities. The table is set, the choice is yours. Negotiate boldly, live intentionally, and remember, your life is the ultimate negotiation, and you hold the power to make it extraordinary.